This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. On tonight's Bethel City Council agenda will be vaccine cash incentives, police body cams, and taxes on senior citizens. KYUK's Olivia Eberts has the details.
In tonight's meeting, Bethel City Council is expected to vote to accept a $45,000 grant from the state of Alaska. The funds must go towards vaccination efforts. City Manager Pete Williams has proposed incentivizing unvaccinated residents with $100 worth of cash or Visa gift cards if they agree to get vaccinated. The Bethel Police Department also recently won a grant from the state. It has requested approval from the city to use just over $20,000 of its grant funds towards the purchase of 30 new body cameras. The proposal is on the agenda for discussion and a vote at tonight's meeting. The City Council will also look at a proposal that would grant a sales tax exemption to all senior citizens. Currently, only senior citizens who are Bethel residents are exempt from the tax. As this item is on the consent agenda, the City Council is not expected to discuss it or to vote on it until the following City Council meeting. However, any council member could pull the item from the agenda for discussion. Also on the agenda is an ordinance that clarifies who is responsible for maintaining privately owned sewer tanks in Bethel. If passed, the ordinance would exempt the city of Bethel from any legal or monetary responsibility that could accompany a tank overflow. The proposed ordinance says, quote, "The customer is responsible for maintaining and monitoring the collection of waste in their holding tank and shall ensure prevention of overflow, leakage, and discharge of waste onto the ground." Unquote. In Bethel, I'm Olivia Eberts.
Next, in recreation. The movie theater is open again in Bethel. Cervix Cinema reopened on May 28th after closing last fall due to the COVID-19 pandemic. With the reopening, there are now even more opportunities to catch a flick than there were before the pandemic. Cervix Cinema is operated by the Lower Kuskokwim School District, which is leasing the building from Bethel Native Corporation. Before the pandemic, LKSD limited showings to evenings. Now there are afternoon matinees on Saturday and Sunday. The movie theater is open 4 days a week from Friday to Monday. LKSD Director of Secondary Education Aaron Schock says the extra matinee showings are because the district is limiting capacity in the theaters to 50%. Customers that are not from the same household will be seated 6 feet apart. Schock said that with a mitigation plan in place, both vaccinated and unvaccinated people may enter the theater. Cinema customers are required to wear masks unless actively eating or drinking. Concessions will be available for sale. Customers will also be screened at the entrance and will be denied entry if their temperature is above 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit, if they recently traveled out of the region, if they have been in contact with a COVID-positive individual, or if they're displaying any symptoms. As of last weekend, Cervix Cinema was showing two movies, a horror film called A Quiet Place Part 2 and Disney's Cruella. This fall, LKSD will begin its Business Career Pathway program at the movie theater. That's where students will work at the theater on weekends and take a class that teaches them customer service skills and conducts basic job training. Schock says the goal is to eventually teach students more advanced business skills like accounting or marketing. Continuing in education, on June 2nd, the Lower Kuskokwim School District Board extended Superintendent Kimberly Hankins' contract by 1 year. She will now serve as superintendent until at least the summer of 2024. In her first year as superintendent, Hankins led the district through the COVID-19 pandemic. Classes were held remotely for almost the entire year. Hankins has said, with endorsement from the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation, that next school year will be different. She says the district plans to start this fall with in-person classes 5 days a week with indoor sports activities. Hankins' salary for the 2020-21 school year was $155,000. Her salary for the 2023-24 school year has not yet been determined. And finally, a federal appeals court ruled last week that the Trump administration was wrong to reverse protections for the Pacific walrus. As Wesley Early with Alaska's Energy Desk reports, the ruling will force federal agencies to reconsider what protections are warranted for the species as their ocean habitat warms.
The ruling from the U.S. Ninth Circuit Appeals Court comes more than a decade after the Center for Biological Diversity, a conservation group, first petitioned the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to list the walrus as endangered or threatened. In 2008, attorneys for the center said that oil and gas development threatened the species, as did the melting of sea ice that walruses use for habitat. Emily Jeffers, an attorney for the center, says that in 2011, during the Obama administration, the federal agency initially agreed with the petition, but was too busy to take action on it.
And then 6 years later, in 2017, the Trump administration found that the species did not warrant listing under the Endangered Species Act.
One of the factors in measuring threats to the walrus is what constitutes a problem in the immediate future. In the Obama administration's original 2011 ruling, scientific models predicted substantial sea ice loss by the year 2100, causing walrus population declines. In its reversal, the Trump administration said 2060 was a better timeline to measure the immediate future of walrus sea ice habitat. And while Fish and Wildlife acknowledged that the species was in danger of losing that habitat, the agency said it didn't believe the risk was at a level warranting federal protections. In their lawsuit, Jeffers and the Center for Biological Diversity said the Trump administration didn't fully explain its justification for changing the timeline from 2100 to 2060. And in a 20-page ruling Thursday, the court agreed.
The court said, you know, look, Fish and Wildlife Service, you did one thing in 2011, you did another thing in 2017. It's sort of the hallmark of agency decision making is that you have to explain the reasons why you're doing something. And here you just didn't explain what you were doing.
The Pacific walrus remains a subsistence staple in Arctic Alaska Native communities, which harvest an estimated 5,300 walruses annually. Endangered Species Act protections for the species, if adopted, would not affect subsistence hunting for Alaska Natives. Jeffers says that while subsistence hunts have the potential to threaten the Pacific walrus, the risk is small.
Climate change and sea ice loss is overwhelmingly the main threat to the species, not subsistence harvest.
With the new ruling, Jeffers says the Biden administration will have to reassess whether the Pacific walrus should be listed as threatened or endangered. She says the Center for Biological Diversity is confident that the agency will boost protections.
So I think that when they do have to go back and reexamine their decision, we're very confident that they'll find that the walrus warrants protections under the Endangered Species Act because the science overwhelmingly supports it.
If listed, the federal government would also have to designate critical habitat deemed essential to the species. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Wesley Early in Kotzebue.
Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.